Well, our state capitol report continues now as we welcome in Democratic State Senator Kathleen Vinehout. According to her, governors put good news in the headlines and bury bad news in the small print. We will talk with Senator Vinehout about some of the lesser known details of the Wisconsin state budget and why she is concerned about some of them. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions for her at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Kathleen Vinehout, a Democratic state senator from Alma. Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me just ask you if you have a reaction to the proposed elimination of the Wisconsin Natural Resources magazine that we just talked about. I'm sorry, are you there, Senator Vinehout?
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
My reaction is to subscribe and to encourage everyone to subscribe. I see the magazine when I go to my dentist. He has it in his waiting room and even in his each one of his little places where he works on teeth. And I love the magazine, and he loves it, and his patients love it, and I think I need to subscribe.
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk to you about a number of other issues that you found in the state budget, the small print that concern you. But you'll subscribe, but I'm wondering if you have thoughts on the reasoning behind cutting the magazine. The governor says we don't need the government providing a publication that can be, you know, that can be provided in the private sector, and that the DNR needs to, you know, focus its efforts on other things.
What I have heard from constituents when they've told me, when I've told them about what's happening, their thinking is that the more people are pleased with the work of the DNR, the more people really enjoy the natural resources of the state and think about what a huge asset the natural resources, our natural resources, are for a state, the more people are disturbed by the cuts that are happening at the Department of Natural Resources. And in this budget, the governor is cutting another 43 positions, and it's not clear from the documents that we have now what those people do, but there were a lot of positions cut in previous budgets, and the governor has, again, in this budget, talked about reorganizing the department. There's also been a great deal of talk among the Republicans in the legislature about separating the department into two pieces, where you have enforcement of environmental regulations on one side and hunting and fishing and enjoyment of natural resources on the other side. Of course, environmentalists will tell us you can't have one without the other. If the pollution rules aren't enforced, the fish die and there's no fish for people to enjoy. So I think that the decision is disturbing, and I encourage people to do what they can to make their wishes known, both by subscribing and by lobbying their legislators to put these funds back in the budget. And as we heard from our previous guest, the funds are paid for. The magazine is self-sustaining. It's paid for by the subscription. So saving state money is definitely not a valid argument against getting rid of the magazine.
We'll get into some of the finer points of the state budget that you wrote a recent column about, but I just wondered if you could just give us your general reaction to Governor Walker's proposed budget with nearly $650 million extra for K through 12 education. It would boost the UW system's budget by $100 million while cutting tuition. Just overall, your general reaction to the governor's budget, was it good, bad, in between?
That the governor is running for re-election. The places where the governor talked about adding new money were criticisms that the Democrats and many people in many town hall meetings I've conducted have been saying need to be fixed over many years. At the same time, there is the intertwining of details and strings attached to these monies that make me worried that there are other details that we don't know about. The governor has tied up in the money for schools, for example, that the money doesn't flow through the equalized aid formula. Although he's spending enough money to fix the formula, he doesn't fix it. He gives the money outside of the formula, and then he adds strings to the school districts that say, if you don't follow what I want, you're not going to get the money. And in particular, what he wants is that the school districts have to charge a certain amount for health insurance from their employees. This is a problem, for example, in my area. It's a problem in Altoona, which is a little town right next to Eau Claire. The school district has had a huge problem hiring people, and so that one of the ways that they bring in new people is to say, you're not making very much money. You're in an entry-level teaching position, but we're going to pick up a little bit more of our health insurance. There's a huge shortage of teachers, especially in the rural and small-town districts, and this is one way that the school districts are trying to get new teachers. So to tie the money to what the governor wants and what the school district would have to change is a string that pattern is repeated in a number of other budget provisions. Another example would be the university.
Let me move on, though, to the lesser-known parts of Governor Walker's proposed budget that you highlighted in your recent column. You wrote that the Department of Administration would add 500 jobs, a 47% increase over its current staff. What is going on that would require the Department of Administration to add that many people?
The number, I said almost 500, and the number is actually 486. Of those positions, 485 of them are in the category of supervisor and management. And it's unclear exactly what's happening, but I can tell by looking at the other budgets of the other agencies that in many cases he's transferring people from other agencies to the Department of Administration. Even with the DNR cuts, there's still a net increase of over 400 positions. So I'm presuming that a number of these positions are newly created. I don't know for sure, but I presume that these positions are somewhat related to the centralization of a lot of functions that have happened because of a new computer system. And this new computer system deals with budgeting, finance, human resources. It really kind of takes the whole heart of state government, especially as money flows in and out of agencies, and puts it into the Department of Administration. And this is concerning to me for a number of reasons. One of them is because the way that the Department of Administration gets its money now seems to be pulling money from other agencies.
I'm going to jump in, Senator Vinehout, as we have news next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll get into more of your concerns over this particular hidden budget item, and we'll talk about others as well after the news. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with State Senator Kathleen Vinehout, and we are welcoming your thoughts and questions for her about state policy and about the state budget. We are talking with her about a recent column she wrote on some of the small print in Governor Walker's budget plan and why she is concerned about some of these items. But, anything's fair game. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Before our news break, Senator Vinehout, you were telling us why it was concerning to you that in the proposed budget, the Department of Administration would get 486, I think you said, new jobs. You were telling us why that is concerning. Why is that concerning?
Because of the lack of transparency, there's a lot of money being shuffled between agencies, and this has caused problems. For example, it's caused problems with the auditors being able to track down where the money actually comes from, where it goes. The legislature doesn't know how much this new computer system is actually costing the state. It's hard to provide oversight when it's not clear where the money's coming from. The computer system, we think, is somewhere around $150, $160 million, but that money to pay for it is coming from the agencies, and now it looks like the positions are moving from the agencies. But almost 500 positions, that's a big change in the workforce. So I think there's a lot more going on, and I will be asking questions, and hopefully we can get to the bottom of exactly what's happening. Yeah. But right now, the whole budget process is very cloudy, very opaque, and this part in particular is concerning.
Jeff in Mauston is with us on this particular item. Hi, Jeff.
Morning, ladies. I truly think if there was new software as opposed to a new hardware computer, that you wouldn't need 486 people. It just seems absurd. And if the Democrats could possibly get the new titles and how much they're paid, I think the constituents, at least the Democratic constituents, would be glad to know that.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Jeff. I'm ready to get down. I think that's a great idea, and I will talk with the nonpartisan fiscal bureau and see if I can get details. I also think it would be good for the fiscal bureau to do a special report on it, or what we call a budget paper on the issue. It's a big change, and it just seems like it begs for more investigation.
You also pointed out in your column that the budget gets rid of the board that oversees for-profit colleges. You called that proposal foolish. What's foolish about eliminating the Educational Approval Board?
There are a lot of federal investigations right now about for-profit colleges. Everybody heard about the lawsuit with Trump University during the campaign, and how that was settled out of court after President Trump was sworn in, or was after the election. I do think that the Educational Approval Board plays a really important role in overseeing the for-profit colleges, and particularly now that a lot of fraud was discovered, a number of colleges went out of business. There are a lot of questions about students who want to know, is my degree worth anything? Can I transfer these credits? How do I pay off a huge student loan? Research that was done on the student loan debt showed a lot of the student loan debt came from students who went to these for-profit colleges. So oversight is important, and getting rid of the Educational Approval Board and not providing that oversight is foolish now, especially when there have been so many investigations that showed that the students weren't getting an education that was certainly worth all the money that it cost them.
You also said that the stray voltage program would be eliminated because Governor Walker says it's not that much of an issue anymore. But you say you hear otherwise. Talk a little bit about what that program does and why you think it's still needed.
This is a program that I have firsthand knowledge of. When my husband and I started milking cows 20 years ago at our farm, we had problems with what's called stray voltage. We ended up having to redo the barn to protect the cows from stray voltage. There have been a number of lawsuits in western Wisconsin because power companies have used the ground as a ground, and sometimes that stray voltage makes its way into barns, and that stray voltage is not good. It's not good for humans. It's not good for cows. It's not good for anybody. And the power companies have tried to upgrade their equipment, but they haven't always succeeded. And there are right now constituents who have been asking what to do, what the next step is, and usually the next step is to work with the Department of Ag, who then works with the power companies. We had the power companies do testing, and I'm not sure if the program goes away, if that testing actually will continue. So I'm very worried about this. It's something that affects all of our dairy producers. It's been a help to make sure that the power companies are doing what they need to capture that voltage and not let it get out there where it shouldn't be. And I just don't think this is a good idea to get rid of the program.
We have just a few more minutes left in this week's edition of the State Capitol Report. We have a line open for you to talk with one of Wisconsin's state legislators. Kathleen Vinehout is a Democratic state senator from Alma. We're talking with her about a recent column she wrote talking about some of the lesser known or hidden or fine print items of the governor's proposed state budget and why she says those proposals are wrong for Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's go to Scott in Whitewater. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. My question is the Senator Vinehout. Were there any changes in the budget to the formula which distributes aid to local public schools?
That's a good question, and the answer is that there was not a change in the formula, despite the fact that State Superintendent Tony Evers proposed a change. And Superintendent Evers has been working very hard on how to change the formula, deal with the changes that Wisconsin needs done. He proposed changes in the 2011, the 2013, the 2015, and 17 to now the 17-19 budget. Four times he said, we need to change the formula and here's how to do it. The governor ignored those changes. He denied funding for almost $700 million in requested funding that Tony Evers was asking for, and he changed things so that the money that he's putting into schools goes outside the formula. So I agree that the formula needs to be changed, but putting out money outside of a broken formula then gives the same amount of money to a very wealthy school versus a poor school versus a school that's being dramatically hurt by the problems in the existing formula. And those schools that are dramatically hurt could be schools with a lot of students in poverty, or they could be rural schools that just have high costs. So we have a lot of problems. The governor had an opportunity to fix it, and he didn't. And I think we need to make sure that the money goes where it's needed.
We actually have Senator Vinehout, some listeners who are asking where they can find your column. This is a column I think you write for your constituents. Do you post it on your website? I believe we have posted it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page.
Yes, it's posted on my website. It's sent to most of the newspapers in the state. A number of Western Wisconsin and other newspapers will run it. They could go to KathleenVinehout.org is one place. They could also go to the state's website and look for Senator Vinehout, and it's posted there. I'm also releasing another column this morning that talks about an investigation that I did on what the governor called a reform dividend. He was basically saying we have more money because our reforms are working. I did a lot of research this weekend to try and find that reform dividend, and I can't find it anywhere. So I talk about that in the column that comes out this morning. Probably it'll be out by noon.
Meaning that we haven't saved a lot of money through Act 10 and other reforms?
That's allegedly what the governor has said, is that there's a lot more money in the budget. I went back through a lot of documents, and I found that the revenue estimates or the money coming in, if the dividend was there, you would think these estimates would get higher and higher. Actually, they've gotten lower and lower. And the only reason that I can find that the governor could claim that there's more money is when the they're apples to oranges are compared. In this case, it's the governor's own estimates from November to the nonpartisan fiscal bureau's January estimates. But when I go back previous Januaries and compare what the numbers are, I see that they've been dropping over the last couple years. And one of the reasons is because corporate income tax is dropping, and I'm sure that has to do with the number of tax credits that have been passed and now are being claimed by corporations who really don't owe much in taxes.
You know,
so
we have just
bringing it in.
We have just a minute to go. At last summer state Democratic Party convention, you said that people were urging you to run for governor in 2018. You also said you would make a decision by early 2017. Have you made that decision yet?
No, I haven't, and I'm doing a lot of homework based on what happened in the election in 2016. I have some more numbers that I'm hoping to get from what used to be the Government Accountability Board, now is called the Elections Commission, and I'm waiting to see what those numbers tell us about the people who voted in the last election. And my theory is that there were a lot of new voters that came to the polls for the first time, and that Democratic, especially Democratic rural voters stayed home. And I think that if we're appealing to Trump voters as Democrats, or we're appealing to rural Democratic voters who just weren't excited by the last campaign, I think those are two very, very different strategies moving forward. So I will keep you posted in what I learn and what my decisions will be.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Kathleen Vinehout, Democratic State Senator from Alma. Thanks to Bill Martins and to Nyasia Ellison for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network.